I love that song. I think it's a wonderful name, beautiful name, powerful name. Well, we, again, just still kind of off the high from yesterday. It was just an awesome day. I guess probably because for the last 6 weeks, it's really been my main focus. Cheryl can tell you every time I was home, I was working on the computer, and Melissa Allitt said, "Are you nervous yesterday morning?" Because I was kind of pacing. I said, "My concern is that I don't want to go off script. I had everything written down," and they really emphasized that we were on such a time schedule. You can't go over a second because live would come over and overtake us and what's going on in the site. So I was just worried that I was going to go off, but God took us down to the very second in each one of our segments when we were talking to our groups. God just worked it out. It was just an amazing time. But again, we were just talking about that yesterday. Just what an awesome God we serve, that he still works in the lives of young people. And we are praying. So continue to pray. You can change your clock from 10:13 now to 10:12. We've got the date for next year already. So you don't really have to be praying this early. But you can, as the Lord brings it to mind, October 12th next year will be the Dare to Share. And we're trusting that we're going to fill that auditorium up and have to move to Mansfield University because I think word's going to get out now from some of the people who came and at least observed the day. So it is a powerful name of the Lord that we serve. Last week we began looking, we watched the videos a couple weeks ago from Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. But last week we reminded ourselves that Christ's return could come at any time. And we heard the testimony. I read that testimony too, of the Austrian Hitler survivor Kitty Werthmann. I don't know if any more watched that on YouTube this week. A lot of you asked for her name and how to spell it. So she was concerned about the direction that America is headed. And today we want to look at the question: will America have a role in the end times? That's a much debated question. There are people who believe yes, America has a bright future. It's going to be around till the very end. There's others who say there's no way. America's going to cease to be a dominant nation, a dominant world leader, and possibly no longer even a nation. Well, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time and think about America in the end times. Lord, we're so grateful that we know the one with the wonderful, the beautiful, and the powerful name. And Lord, just thank you for the many prayers of people from our church who prayed for a Wellsboro site and people in the area and people across the nation who prayed for Dare to Share yesterday. And what a great event it was. We were trying not to be discouraged by the number, but then, Lord, when the one came to Christ and just the comments from these young people who just seemed so on fire was exciting. Lord, and we're just thankful for what you are going to do in our area. We do pray now as the How to Life has a date now of November 18th. We pray that that would bring honor and glory to you too, and the kids would be excited. And that's a student-led ministry that they would be on fire for you. And just these two programs together would really begin to work in our community. And Lord, we are concerned for our world today, and we pray that you would be glorified in that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We did have, just back up a little bit before we go on with this, just we went out door to door and we had shared the gospel with the kids, how to go through the gospel message. And I've gone through this, explained this to you a couple weeks ago. We use the word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, and each one of those letters is a stepping stone for sharing Christ. And it is God created us to be with him. O is our sin separated us from God. And we talk about, you know, ask the person, you know, did you ever lie? Oh, yeah. Well, that separated you from God. And then S is sins cannot be removed by good deeds. There's nothing we can do to get us to heaven. P is paying the price for our sins. Jesus died and rose again. E is eternal. Or everyone who trusts in Christ alone has eternal life. And then L is life with Christ begins now and lasts forever. And I had a group of four teens go out with me, and they kept saying, "Mr. Hagee, we're scared to death of doing it. Just do the first couple." So I knock on the first one and had a chance to share with a lady. She was a black woman, and she said, "Yes, I was born and raised in a Mennonite home." And I said, "Do you still attend?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, have you heard the gospel?" And she said, "Yeah, I think so." So I went through the entire plan with her, and she kind of brushed us off. We had three opportunities in our group to share, but it was so exciting. All four of the kids were saying, "We can't do it. We'll ask for cans, but we're not going to be able to share the gospel. I said, you're going to. You were just trained, and I said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't let Satan put fear. And it was so neat to watch the four of them. I was behind them, but they knocked on the door, and they were scared. And one guy, five doors in a row, we knocked on. Nobody was home. And I said, I'm pretty sure in my youth group, when we were up in Corning, we went to Columbus, Ohio, and I took a group out, and we took a bus, but we were all over the town of Columbus. And I said, I asked the kids, my first couple, I said, just stand back and you guys pray. And I was pretty sure that someone was praying, Lord, please help no one ever answer a door for me. And whether this one guy, five in a row, he goes, Mr. Hagee, I've tried. And he was saying, he said, people scare me. He said, I don't mind asking for cans. But he said, I'm not going to be able to do it. About the sixth or seventh door he knocked on, someone opened it. You could just see his knees were knocking. But he went through. He didn't get the whole gospel through. But I think he got to the S. And they said, well, I'm really busy. We have food in the oven. We've got to get going. And we got back and we just said, as we talked to the kids, I said, you know, if you just got God created us to be with him, that's great. If you got our sins separated from God, that's okay. That's okay too. If you got the sins cannot be removed by good deeds, at least it's getting the people to think. So as you pray in these coming days, just pray for those people who had just a small glimpse. They might not even heard the whole gospel, but at least they heard a part of it. Well, back to this morning. We're going to be talking about whether America is going to be around or not. But Billy Graham once said this. He said, if God doesn't punish America, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I know I've shared that before, and you've probably heard that. And Billy Graham, by no means... We said he's probably the most respected preacher ever and one of the guys that I look to as just being such a godly, godly man who never compromised his stand. And he's not telling God what to do. But his point is that America has fallen so far, and I think he said this like 40 years ago. So think about in the last 40 years how far, think of the last 40 days, how bad America has gotten. But how far we have fallen as a nation. And if God doesn't punish us, will he owe an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah? Or is what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah in store for America? How many of you believe that America is going to be around when Christ returns? Not the rapture. The rapture could occur anytime. If the rapture occurred today, America is still going to be a powerful nation. But how many of you believe that at the end of the tribulation period that America is still going to be a world power? Anybody? Okay, I don't believe it. But we're going to be looking today at some of the reasons. But I believe there are a couple reasons, only a couple reasons, why America is still around today. First is I believe there's the number of believers, the sheer volume of believers in America. Not that they're all growing godly people, but they at least have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe many of them are carnal Christians, but the number of believers. And then number two, and you heard Jimmy DeYoung mention this, at least under this president, we've gotten back to being a friend of Israel. Our last administration, not so much. But I believe those are two reasons, maybe perhaps the only two reasons, why America is still around today. And when we cease being a friend of Israel, and I said this over the last 8 years ago, that we weren't heading in a good direction. I could see Christ or God judging America for the way we were treating Israel. But at least we've gotten back to that. But what I want to do this morning, and you have in your handouts there, five spaces. And I want to look this morning at what some people look to, some reasons from Scripture that some people look to say that, yes, America will be around, and then we'll look at what I believe the Scripture is actually saying. So number one is, it's a powerful people. Powerful people. And this is out of Isaiah chapter 18, verse 2. And Isaiah says, go you swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth, to a people feared near and far, a nation mighty and conquering, whose land the rivers divide. There are many people who look at that and say, that's America. We're tall and smooth. They think that description is speaking about white Americans, I guess. But that we are feared far and wide. People are afraid of America. That we are a mighty nation that conquers. If you look at our history, we have won some wars. But they also look at the land that the rivers divide. They're looking more, not at the rivers, but at oceans. Atlantic and Pacific Ocean, there's certainly rivers that run through it. But they say that that's America. But Isaiah, when he wrote this, this is not writing about America. I don't think Isaiah had the Mississippi River in mind as he wrote this. We are a powerful nation. But the opening verse of Isaiah 18, let me read it. Isaiah 18, 1, it says, "Ah, land of whirring wings, this is beyond the rivers of Cush." And it's just telling us here that this is talking about the Egyptian Empire. And the river that was divided is the Nile. Isaiah is not talking about America. And again, 18:1 gives a description of who it was talking about. The Cush, which was an Egyptian, part of the Egyptian nation. So he's talking about the first world power there, one of the first world powers of Egypt. Nothing to do with America. So we can knock that first one out of the equation. Number two, it's an invading nation. An invading nation. Let me turn back now to Ezekiel 18. Let me read this here. I didn't put this up on the screen, but you can turn back to Ezekiel 18. It says, "Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all its leaders will say to you, 'Have you come to seize spoil? Have you assembled your hosts to carry off plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to seize great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the land, the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are dwelling securely, will you not know it? You have come from our place out of the uttermost parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud covering the land.'" Now, what is that all saying? This is one of the most popular viewpoints of people, but it's clear that what Isaiah or what Ezekiel is speaking about is not America. He says a land of people from the north. This is speaking about Russia, and they're the ones doing the invading. And we see them getting ready for that today. Spying and available material says that, you know, that Russia is preparing. Russia's preparing to war. Russia's preparing to attack. But this goes on, and people believe that, well, if it's not referring to the people of the north, meaning us, that when it says that the people of Tarshish was this. Now, let me explain what people believe. The best understanding that we have in Scripture is that Tarshish is Britain, all right? And it says, and then they talk about all the others. Let me just read that one more time to you. It says, "The merchants of Tarshish and all its leaders will say to you," and then it goes on and talks about them attacking. Theologians and scholars believe Tarshish is Britain, and Christian people who believe this is saying, well, it's also then all the other Americans or English-speaking nations, meaning Australia and America. That America is going to be part of that because we speak English like Britain. But this is very speculative, obviously. But we don't know for sure the identity. I shouldn't say scholars believe it's Tarshish. People who believe what this is saying, Tarshish is Britain. Okay, scholars don't know what Tarshish represents. But archaeologists believe that Tarshish is Spain. Okay, not Britain. I misspoke there in the beginning. People who believe that the invading nation is America kind of have it wrong. And Tarshish is not just these English-speaking nations, but it is Spain. Okay, and we know for sure that the nation from the north is Russia. All right, so an invading nation is speaking completely about Russia. Nothing to do with the U.S. Number three, and you probably already got that when I put that up a few minutes ago. The wings of an eagle in Revelation chapter 12. the wings of an eagle. Now listen to this. Revelation chapter 12, it says, "And when the dragon that had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and a half a time." And again, that's the tribulation period. "The serpent poured water like a river out of the mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war with her on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea." All that's a lot of stuff talking about what's going to be happening. But people who believe that this is talking about America say, well, our American symbol is the eagle. So anything in Scripture when it mentions the eagle has got to be modern-day America. I think, again, that's pretty crazy. But especially if you look at Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." That reveals, when you compare Scripture to Scripture, it's not every time an eagle is mentioned is not talking about America. God spoke of himself when he spoke about it in Exodus 19. He said, "I am the one. I'm the eagle. I'm the one who bore you up. I'm the one who brought you on eagle's wings." So we believe that Revelation 12, when it talks about the eagle, is again part of the Godhead. All right, so all three arguments, they sound logical if you're someone who's looking to, in all the different ways of trying to find America in Scripture, but all of them are wrong. Number four. Corrupt Babylon. Corrupt Babylon. Revelation 18 says, "After this I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of her passion and her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living.'" That's got to be speaking about America. We're corrupt. We have luxurious living here in the United States, and certainly that's got to be speaking about America. Well, while the U.S. does share a lot in common with how corrupt Babylon was, as is described there, Revelation 18 is not speaking about America. It is speaking about the Gentile world empire that's going to be in place before Christ returns. And who is that? That belongs to the Antichrist. It has nothing to do with America. Although, we could look at that, and if you read that again, we're a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, every detestable thing. All the nations have drunk of the passion of our sexual immorality. We certainly see that, but that has nothing to do with America. This is the kingdom of the Antichrist, all right? Nothing to do with how corrupt we are, nothing to do with all those things that sound like America. This is speaking about the Antichrist. Then number five. This is an interesting one. I had to do a lot of research. I researched to find this one because this is just very interesting. It's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, and then also Daniel chapter 8, verse 21. Let me read Daniel 7. I think I have it backwards here. This is Daniel 8, I think. "And about the horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which all three of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that was spoke great things, it seemed greater than all its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. Again, this is talking about a vision of Daniel, okay? Then the other chapter says, and the goat is the king of Greece. The great horn between his eyes is the first king. As for the horn that was broken, in place of which four others rose, four kingdoms shall arise from this nation, but not with his power. And again, Daniel had no idea when he first saw this what was going on. He knew it was speaking about the end times. He did speak about it. I'm sure when he's watching this vision, it's kind of like, what is going on? And when he's interpreting it, but let me show you what someone, this is a theologian who believes what this is saying is about America. He said, these two principles have also been labeled republicanism, a government without a king. That's talking about America, obviously. And Protestantism, a church without a pope. That's America. We don't have a pope in America. So it's got to be speaking about America. Other nations since ancient times have taxed people to support a state religion. Most also oppressed religious dissidents. But the United States established something entirely different. Freedom to worship without government interference. Absence of crown signifies a republican form of government rather than a monarchy. Lamb-like horns denote an innocent, young, non-oppressive, peace-loving, and spiritual nation. That's a guy's interpretation of those two verses in Daniel. That obviously, since we don't have a crown on our president, we have the horn, we're a powerful nation. That's got to be speaking about America. It's really pretty absurd to go through that. These verses have nothing to do with America, but it's talking about the four empires, the four kingdoms that Daniel interpreted. The last ended with Rome, all right? But it was the Egyptian, Greek, certainly not America. So you can go back over some of those verses and read those things and see why people believe that America is going to be here. But we still come back to the question, because no one else raised their hand when I asked if it's going to be here at the end times. What's going to happen to the United States? There's a lot of assumptions that are made. But again, I don't believe America is going to play any key roles in the end times. The nation as we know it probably will not be here. I want to read some thoughts from a guy named Dr. David Reagan and Nathan Jones of Lamb and Lion Ministries. Lamb and Lion Ministries. You could probably Google it and find this. But this is just a possible scenario. I'm not saying this is exactly what's going to happen, but this was just written probably in the last year. But I want to read it. It's not super long, but take me a few minutes to get through it. But just listen to his scenario. We've read books like The End Times and all the different things that have been out there. This is one possible scenario, and it might not play out exactly as he says, but when he gets to the point where the Antichrist comes, it's really good stuff. But listen to this. General prophecies that apply to the U.S. include those that say all nations will be judged in Isaiah chapter 34, and all nations will cease to exist except the nation of Israel. That's Jeremiah 30. In chapter 30 and chapter 46, when he says, I personally, this is again that Dr. Reagan, he says, I personally believe that the reason the U.S. is not mentioned in end time prophecy is because we will suddenly cease to be a world power and will therefore play no significant role in the end times. The destruction of American power is most likely to occur in two stages. The first will be an economic catastrophe that will result from our out-of-control debt situation. Our God in the U.S. is the mighty dollar, and the Lord is going to destroy that God when the weight of our debt collapses our economy. Think that's a possibility? All right. The second stage could occur when Russia launches its invasion of Israel, prophesied in Ezekiel 38, which we talked about. That's the nation from the north. I believe it is very likely that they will launch a preemptive nuclear strike against our nation, since we are the only country in the world that might possibly come to Israel's defense. This attack may be hinted at in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 6, where it says that fire will fall on those who inhabit the coastlands in safety. The Russian attack will probably come from submarines deployed off our east and west coast. Each Russian sub carries more firepower than all the bombs dropped in World War II. Such an attack would give us only 7 minutes to prepare, not even enough time to launch a counterattack. With the U.S. immobilized, the Russians will then attack Israel, and according to Ezekiel, their army will be wiped out supernaturally by God on the hills of Israel. That's Ezekiel 39, verses 1 to 4. Then, the greatest power vacuum in the history of mankind will be created almost overnight. The world will be gripped by panic. Up till that point, I'm not sure if that's why it's going to happen or not, but we do know the world's going to panic. And then listen to his explanation, which I think is really good from here on. Into that vacuum, power vacuum, will step a dynamic, charismatic European political personality who will be energized by Satan. He will begin to rally the world to support his brilliant proposals for world peace. The world will be mesmerized by him, according to Revelation 13:8. Some argue that since the collapse of the Soviet government, Russia is now too weak to launch any attack against Israel or the United States. But the economy has rebounded due to the nation's vast oil reserves, and its military power is intact, including thousands of nuclear warheads. In fact, Russia is far more dangerous to the world today than before the Soviet collapse. The increased danger is rooted in the instability of the government. There is no hope for democracy in Russia because the societal values that are essential for the working of a democratic system do not exist, nor is there any historical experience with democracy. Before the commissars were the Tsars. As I predicted from the outset, the experiment with democracy did not last long. Vladimir Putin has created a new tyranny that is obsessed with territorial expansion. Putin will most likely resort to one of the oldest techniques of government, namely stirring up trouble abroad to divert people's attention from their economic problems. That foreign trouble will ultimately be the invasion of Israel. That, to me, I think is a great scenario of what could happen. We need to understand how prophecy is laid out. I don't believe we'll see any of that happen. I believe the rapture is going to come. And once the believers are removed, once Holy Spirit is removed, then all this chaos is going to happen. But when you think for a moment what God's going to do to Russia, what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, we need to ask ourselves, are we really any more religious or more Christian than Russia? Does God owe us more than he does these nations that are going to be judged? Obviously not. Some Christian leaders believe that the United States today is much more dangerous spiritually than Russia. We've done more to cause world pollution than Russia. Not just talk about air pollution, but talk about our TV, our movies, the things that we put out, the ungodly music, abortion, pornography, all those things. America is leading the way in those things. As a nation, we have the Word of God. How many Bibles do we have in our society? How many Bibles sit in your home? How many Bibles laying on a table or thrown in a drawer somewhere in America when so many nations don't even have a verse of the Scripture? And we have all those privileges, but we've not turned back to God. We've still play God in ourselves. And I believe our day of judgment is going to be much more severe for America than it will be for Russia. I mean, Russia is going to be destroyed, according to Ezekiel. But that's going to be in a war. I believe America is going to suffer a little bit longer, slower death. But I don't believe we're going to be here at the end times. And we need to be reminded of what it says in Luke 12:48. Russia does not have near the privileges that we have. And Scripture says, to those to whom much is given, much is expected. What are we doing with the Bible? What are we doing with the training we have, the ability we have, the dare to share type of things? When you only have less than 30 in a room of 500, and I saw some of the videos, it didn't look like many of them were full. Denver looked like it was pretty filled there where it came from. But look at all the seating available in our churches. Listen to what we read about the Fullers, churches that are closing up churches that are dropping support from missionaries because they just can't afford it, because their church isn't, don't have the people or they don't have the finances coming in. We have so much here in America, but we've squandered, I believe, we've squandered the privileges and we've squandered the blessings of God. And I believe the end is very near. Not a doomsday message, because if you're a child of God, we're not going to see it. Is that, you thankful for that? Can I hear an, at least an amen that we're not going to be here? Folks, our future is bright. For us as Christian Americans, we're not going to ever see that destruction. We're seeing it get pretty bad. And I remember people saying, how much worse can it get? How much worse can this get here? Politically, how much worse can it get? How bad can the fight between Democrats and Republicans get? How much more evil can we see in America? Well, a whole lot more. But Christians, I believe, are the ones that are holding that banner. We're the ones that are keeping God from judging it right now. And if our light does not continue to shine and we don't bring more people to Christ, then the future is even dimmer. But folks, I want to challenge you tomorrow at work, at school, talking to teens, but at work and in your home and your business, in your community, be that light. Look for opportunities. Pray each morning that God would give you an opportunity to be a light to someone. We challenge the kids. Yesterday, I've been working on this since I came back from Denver, really, as just looking at people. Everyone I come in contact with the word destined for hell on their forehead. If you come up with that and you begin to realize that, and Greg Steer challenged people headed to hell, I think is what he said. But I just, destined for hell is what I try to picture on every person. And it'll break our hearts when we realize that our family members, people we work with, people we go to school with, if you're a student, they're destined for hell unless they hear from us about the good news in Jesus Christ, that Christ offers salvation through his son, or God offers salvation through his son. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for the future that we have as believers. We know that there's a mansion being prepared for us right now in the streets of gold. We have this vision of heaven. We don't really know what it's all going to be. But Lord, heaven's going to be where you are. But Lord, our world's a mess. Our country's a mess. Our area here is a mess. We have young people who are contemplating suicide. We have young people who don't know their dad or don't see their mom. And kids, we just talking about yesterday, who have no food, just hearing one of the teachers talking about kids might get one or two meals a week and they don't have any heat or running water in their homes. And we don't think about that. We think about that in Nigeria or the poverty-stricken places in Chicago or inner city places where there's a rundown areas to live. But right down the street from the school, we had some homes that we walked into or knocked on yesterday that it's hard to believe that anyone would live there. And yet, Lord, it's not just in the big areas or big cities. It's right here. And our area needs you desperately. And Lord, I pray that we would be busy telling people about Christ, because, Lord, we don't see a bright future for the world. We certainly don't see a bright future for America. But Lord, we realize you've left us here for a reason, to do your work, to bring people to you, to draw them to you. And we pray that we would be out representing you well into the community, and that people would come to Christ through our light, through our words. And Lord, help us not to be embarrassed. Help us not to be shy. Help us not to be intimidated, but to realize, Lord, that greater is he that's in us than the one that's trying to take credit in the world. And we just pray that we would knock Satan's kingdom down, and Lord, that lives be brought to you in Jesus' name. Amen.